Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. Danger and hope are powerful engines for change. Our guest, environmentalist Bill McKibben, acts on both. His 1989 book, The End of Nature, was an important early warning about the dangers of global climate change. Now, scientists tell us that concentrations of CO2 in the Earth's atmosphere are in fact already past the point of safety, into the danger zone, and rising fast. So where does Mr. McKibben place his hope? In the core of our humanity, our profound biological need to be connected to each other. He shares the hope he finds in the power of community in his book, Deep Economy, and in his newest organization, 350.org. What has changed since he wrote The End of Nature, Bill McKibben says, is...
There's something different in the air, and part of that's the desperation of knowing that we don't have much choice and much longer to make things different, but partly it's the deeply human idea that we have the big brain and the big heart for some reason, and that it'll be enough if we're wise and if we're kind to overcome the difficulties we find ourselves in, especially the environmental ones. Very daunting, very tough. The movement that's starting to grow is very beautiful. The six words that come after it for us are global warming, global movement, global future. We'll see.
Bill McKibben is one of the world's most respected voices championing a livable future on Earth. From The End of Nature to Deep Economy, he's written a whole series of highly influential books, appeared regularly in all kinds of publications and mass media, presenting solutions to environmental crises. He's also scholar in residence at Middlebury College. With a handful of students and friends, he was remarkably successful with Step It Up 2007, a grassroots effort to push for political action on global climate change. They are now drawing attention to the CO2 crisis at their interactive website, 350.org. Bill Russell and I have long shared both Mr. McKibben's deep sense of urgency and his commitment to what he calls the wealth of communities and the durable future. So we were delighted when the opportunity to welcome him in conversation finally arrived. Bill McKibben, I was sitting with friends five or six years ago, and you know how sometimes a conversation will kind of stick in your head. And one of them works for CNN, and he was very excited because Time Warner was about to buy them. He was going to get very rich, none of which happened. And I stopped in the conversation. I said, wait a minute, I don't understand this. Why does everything have to get bigger? Trees get to a certain size, and then they stay that size, and they fill out. But, I was told, everything has to get bigger. It has to get, because otherwise we would... Well, why did that conversation come to mind as I was thinking along with you with Deep Economy? There is this sense that, couldn't we stop and think about this?
You know, if you had a child, and the child was 12 and not growing, you'd take the child to the doctor. Say, Doc, why is this child not growing? If you had a child, and the child was 24... and was continuing to grow, and in fact, suddenly was accelerating 2 inches this year, 3 inches now, 6, you'd take the, in some alarm, you'd take the child to the doctor, say, Doc, you know, not supposed to be happening anymore.
Something's wrong.
Our naive idea, I think, is that economies somehow are the one thing that should always grow forever, and always grow faster. Forever. Their growth should endlessly accelerate. That's been what's been happening for 100 years or so, buoyed by cheap oil and all of that. But we're quickly beginning to realize that those days probably should come to an end. We live on a finite planet. It's time to figure out how we're going to live with economies of a finite size.
Well, this ultimately, it's unsustainable. I mean, the word chosen is sustainable, but it seems that you just run out at some point. You can't infinitely expand without running into limits.
If the Chinese, who will be as rich as we are in 30 or 40 years at current rates, if the Chinese owned cars at the same rate that Americans do, we'd go from 800 million vehicles on the planet right now to 1.1 billion vehicles in China alone. You know, that's not going to happen. There's not enough rubber, there's not enough steel, there's not enough gasoline, and there's sure as heck not enough place to put everything that comes pouring out of those tailpipes. I mean, that's global warming cubed if we start down that road. And you can do the same thing with almost any. If the Chinese ate the same diet we did, as much meat, then you'd take two-thirds of the world's grain harvest just to feed the Chinese. If the Chinese used paper in the same quantities that Americans do, the average Chinese, you'd have to deforest the world in about 10 years just to satisfy the demand for paper. You can't do it. Plan A, the idea that the whole world is going to get just as rich as we are and consume just the way we do, isn't possible. It's not physically possible, which means, okay, let's turn to Plan B and figure out something more interesting, especially since Plan A isn't even working very well for us in terms of happiness or anything else.
And yet it's really hard to say to somebody who has been poor, I mean really poor, you can't have that.
Well, absolutely, and we have no right to and no ability to, and they should rightly resist it. But what we can say is we're going to help you develop, and we're going to help you develop in a way that makes more sense than the way we've done it. I mean, and I'm not necessarily talking all that much about anything all that radical right off. I mean, let's say you got the Chinese. What would be the best thing you could do with sort of the leaders of China? I think probably the best thing you could do is put them on airplanes and take them off to look at Copenhagen and Paris and Frankfurt and say, here's how you build a city. Don't look at Houston. Don't look at maybe Atlanta, because, you know, the average Western European uses half as much energy as the average American. Half's a big number.
I mean, you have a number in there, that, speaking of Atlanta, that compares Atlanta's consumption, transportation consumption, I think, to European cities, and it's, you know, it's eight, I think even London.
Yeah.
It's eight times as much carbon
per person
pumped into the air per person as London.
I think Atlanta is the world champion now for most time in a car.
Well, and people like me, just because I take walks, I now have asthma for the very first time in my life, just because we have polluted the air. Mm-hmm. Microparticulates. I'm Paula Gordon. I have asthma. Bill McKibben has a great deal more to say when he, Bill Russell, and I will all return in just a moment. Do be with us.